This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, it's great to have as our guest this morning Dr. Thomas Dorman. Tom was born in Kenya back when it was a British colony. He served in the Israeli paratroopers in the 1956 Sinai campaign. He graduated from Edinburgh University in Scotland. He's trained in internal medicine and cardiology and orthopedics. Today, he practices in Federal Way, Washington at the Paracelsus Clinic. And take a look at their website, Paracelsus, paracelsusclinic.com. Especially take a look at his newsletters, his wonderful medical newsletters that are fascinating on a whole range of subjects. But Tom, I want to talk to you about a particularly disturbing one today. My dad was a surgeon, and I remember him practicing medicine in the days before Medicare and Medicaid, and while it was far from perfect, still state intervention, but a very, very different situation when the doctor was actually responsible to the patient and you didn't have state medicine to the extent we have today. And yet, not only do we have this horrific state medical system, very cold and cruel and runs for the benefit of the big pharmaceutical companies and all the rest, but it seems to be getting worse day by day, whether the Republicans are in or the Democrats are in. It seems to keep moving in the wrong direction. What's happening?
Well, I completely agree with your summary. When a person goes to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, he takes his cart around the store, he puts his groceries in his cart, and then he pays the checker and walks out to his vehicle. When does the loaf become his own? At the moment, he pays the checker. As long as it's inside the store, it's something he's tentatively planning to buy. There is a point of transaction. When we have an intermediary, such as an insurance company or a Medicare organization, there isn't a clear point of transition or transaction. Is it when you pay your premiums? Is it when you have deductions from your income during your working career, in the case of Medicare? Or is it when you see the doctor? Or is it when the doctor is being paid? There is no clear definition, and this lack of definition creates misunderstandings and arguments, and also tiers of protective mechanism to avoid arguments and errors. And this, of course, involves a variety of regulations. And one of the worst regulations which has crept into our system is the phenomenon of coding diseases and paying according to the code. The doctor is expected to have a code for the disease and a code for the procedure. Well, the procedure may be nothing at all. It may be just an interview and a reassurance, or it may be a heart transplant. There is an extraordinary range, and the business of coding doesn't lend itself to the nuances of differences and variations, and the amount of intellectual effort on the part of the physician on the one hand and the amount of time on the other. Now, doctoring is not piecework. Doctoring is a professional service, and the value of the service relates to the intellectual component, not so much the length of time that it takes a doctor with the patient. Very often the doctor has homework, and very often a great portion of the expense is the whole of his education. So the whole process of trying to quantify the services with codes is effete and creates dissatisfaction, creates arguments, creates resentment, and a great deal of unhappiness, not only on the part of the patient, but of course on the part of the doctor. Some of the manifestations of these changes are also the change in the language. It's not now a doctor and a patient, it's now a provider and a customer. The language speaks for itself. I'm not a provider if the patient has a complaint for which reassurance only is required. I didn't provide anything. And the use of the word speaks for itself. The gradual drift of the change in the language is not accidental. Language is the way we communicate, and language is the way we think. If there isn't a code for something, there isn't a service, and there isn't a payment for it. But that, of course, is complete nonsense. But this is the way the insurance business functions. Now, the insurance business has taken over the decision-making process rather diffusely and, of course, ineffectually, because the know-how is in the head of the physician and the skill is in his hands. And the insurance adjuster doesn't have those by definition. And the process of needing to reduce the expenses on health care always takes the form of the adjuster finding excuses or various maneuvers to reduce the payment, which creates frustration and anger, which has the most horrendous effect, not in the sense that it impoverishes the physician, but in the sense that it corrupts the physician, because the physician reasonably says to himself, I've entitled to a reasonable fee for such and such, I have to change the code so that it will generate the appropriate funds. This leads to a chronic state of distrust and, above all, of corruption. People don't say and call things by their true name, or if you want, by their true code. So the process of converting the relationship, which should have been and which has always been since the days of Hippocrates, a private relationship between a professional and a customer, is converting it to a mechanized system of interference by or for control by this quote, third party. And in fact, we use the word third party payment to reflect this phenomenon. So the language, in fact, speaks what is going on, and it completely destroys the true relationship. The doctor spends his time worrying about codes, worrying about documenting things to the satisfaction of the inspectors, and not sleuthing out what's wrong and how to deal with the problem the patient presents with. This has become endemic, and it's spread from America to other countries, and it's a complete horror. The expense, of course, escalates exponentially. We're complaining that we're spending more of our national budget on health care, quote care, while in fact we are spending most of this money on this bureaucratic monster. Now, you might ask more fundamentally, why do we have this bureaucratic monster imposed between the doctor and the patient, between the hospital and the patient, etc.? And the reason has to be that there is an agenda. It isn't just an accident. We've known from experience, and the best example, of course, is the complete failure of medical care in the Soviet Union. We know from experience that this doesn't work. It really began in 1885 when Otto von Bismarck started insurance services for the workmen in what later became Imperial Germany. And this phenomenon has an agenda, and the agenda is socialist. The agenda is control and not actually provision of good services. We can still buy good bread in the grocery store. We can no longer get good advice and care from the doctor because of this monster. Now, I'm not saying that every instance of care is necessarily faulty. There is an extraordinary momentum of goodwill and honor and professionalism in the medical profession. But as the generations have gone by, this has dissipated gradually. And now most young doctors, if you listen to them in the coffee room in a hospital or such like, they're talking about reimbursement and codes. They're not talking about physiology and pathology. And it's an extraordinary change. Through my lifetime, I'm now in my 70s, and I started medicine quite early. Through my lifetime, this has been a dramatic, extraordinary change. The whole way of thinking and focus of the doctor has completely changed, and this is a result of the socialist impetus.
I was astonished in talking to a young doctor last summer to find out that medical schools have extensive courses in coding. I mean, this is a major subject of study in medical school.
You're correct, and this is one of the manifestations of what I've just been speaking about. And the purpose of the coding is strictly control. Now, the other thing that's happened is the destruction of the main responsibility of the physician. As in the Hippocratic Oath, it says that responsibility of the physician is to cater to the patient, man or woman, free man or slave. What we do now is we document an inventory of, or we expected to, document an inventory of systems which have been examined, and you get paid according to the number of systems you have examined. Well, this is ridiculous, because if a patient has a specific complaint, the real doctor sleuths into the focus onto the problem which affects the individual and deals with it to the best of his ability and doesn't waste his intellectual capability and his time on filling in forms and completing a whole lot of paperwork and detail which are irrelevant to this particular person's subject. And who should be the decision maker whether you need to examine every system and document every reflex? Obviously, only the physician can make that decision depending on the patient's complaint and what he observes. Nonetheless, the bureaucratic system now demands of the physician to fill in all these compartments. So if a person has, for instance, a problem with his head, well, you have to document everything that's wrong with his toes as well. There probably isn't anything, but you have to fill in the form. So what happens is that the doctors, realizing that this is make work, they do it without paying detailed attention, so that it is useless. Functionally, it consumes time and it creates a sense of complete disrespect for what the doctor's job should be, which is to sleuth out the problem. Now, it is true that if you only sleuth out the problem and don't look at other systems, it occasionally can happen that you will miss something. And we human beings have to accept that not everything is perfect in this world, and even the best-intended physician occasionally misses something and makes mistakes. And then there's a point for getting a second look. But we won't solve the problem of occasional errors by making more useless work and distracting the doctor from the main focus. But that does not matter to the socialist agenda, which of course is not handled by the insurance adjuster, but by the powers that be behind the insurance adjuster and behind the insurance business. These are the powers that be that want to destroy the intellectual independence of the doctor. Remember that the relationship between a physician and his client is the relationship where a person who is a lay person in science and in biology and in medicine has one opportunity to have the best contact with a scientist physician who will give him the best available knowledge for his problem. To the extent that that is diluted by useless make-work, time-wasting efforts, that relationship is broken. Now, the next step in breaking this relationship is destroying the privacy of the relationship. If a person has an illness that he wants to keep private for good reason, it's now public knowledge. It's quite extraordinary that since 2003, with this HIPAA law, we've now completely destroyed the privacy of the relationship between the patient and the physician. And, of course, as cynical as the lawmakers are, they call it the Privacy Act. There are 600 agencies, I believe the number is 600, government agencies and social workers and policemen, all kinds of agencies which can obtain the record without the patient's knowledge or consent and do whatever they like with it. So very often patients mention things which are and should remain private between the doctor and the patient, which now become public knowledge. As the information gradually spreads into the community that this is the case, who is going to tell the doctor something private? And that will, of course, destroy the relationship even further, and the patient becomes, I call it a prole, really an individual who is dependent on the government and has no independent power and liberty of his own. This is part of the destruction of the free man, what the Constitution calls that we are individuals who are free and independent and voluntarily use government for certain purposes. The process is reversed. And this brings me to the point that, in my view, the destruction of medicine is a very important, but is only a case in point in the socialization or the communist change of what used to be a free society to being an enslaved society.
Well, Dr. Tom Dorman, I want to mention that while Bert Blumert has a couple of chapters in his new book, Bagels, Barry Bonds, and Rotten Politicians, where he talks about doctors, and one of the chapter titles is, I Hate Doctors, but there's one doctor who he praises as his personal physician and as a man of honor in the more societal sense, and that's Dr. Tom Dorman. So, Tom, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for explaining all of this to us. And I'd like to urge everybody to take a look at his website, paracelsusclinic.com. Take especially a look at his newsletters on a whole host of subjects, both medical and political. And Tom Dorman, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.